Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
So what did you like to do in junior high or middle school? Well, I was one of the cool kids, so I spent a lot of time in the library. Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And there were two things I liked to do when I was there. One would be playing computer games, SimCity, Where in Time is Carmen Sandiego, Oregon Trail. Did that a lot when they had a free computer terminal. But I also like reading books. I read a lot of the classics. That's when I read, you know, I just had the reading bug. And that's when I read a lot of the classics, not for my English class. I just read the books that I wanted to read. It was funny, at lunchtime, I would read the classics. But when the classics were assigned in my English class, I wouldn't read them because I felt like reading them on my own time. But also, along with classics and literature, I was really addicted in like the seventh grade to choose your own adventure books. Please tell me you remember Choose Your Own Adventure. If you don't remember it, well, you're in for a treat because that's what we're going to talk about today here on Free for All Friday. For those of you who aren't as familiar, Free for All Friday is a time on the Council of Trent podcast and we just have fun. Just talk about whatever I find to be interesting. I bet you'll find it to be interesting too. It could be trivia, history, science, popular culture. Who knows what it might be? Tuesdays and Thursdays, we talk about apologetics and theology, and that's important, and I love doing that. But on Fridays, it's fun to unwind. So one way to unwind is I want to take you back in time. These were books that were published in the 1980s and the 1990s. So I went to middle school, I guess. I graduated high school in 2003, so my junior high experience would have been, I guess, 97 to 99. So that was after nearly all the Choose Your Own Adventure books had been published, and so there were a ton of them in our school library. So hopefully you remember them. They're published, I think, by Bontem, actually. But what I want to do on today's show is talk about Choose Your Own Adventure, what these books were like. Then I'll take you on a tour of just the most ridiculous ones, because this is kind of back in the day. It's like when you watch, like, not children's, but think about movies that are rated PG. You know, I think Gremlins was rated PG, or like Back to the Future. You go back to the 80s and 90s, things that were made for kids, it's for kids, were actually not super appropriate for kids. And so when you look at the old 1980s, 1990s Choose Your Own Adventure books, they had a lot of plot lines and stuff in them that were kind of traumatic. I remember reading them as, you know, when I was like 12 years old, and I'm like, oh man, this is really intense. I'm in an intense story right here. And you're reading these stories, they're in the second person. And so you feel like something's happening to you. So if you're not familiar with Choose Your Own Adventure, let me just, I'll fill you in on the basic plot structure. So these books are written from a second person perspective. So you think about first person is like, Call Me Ishmael, you know, is a book that's written and it's from the first person perspective. I went and did this, I did that. You're inside the protagonist's head. Third person would be usually kind of like a divine, or at least not an all-knowing, sometimes it's an all-knowing narrator, but other times it's a it's like looking at the story through a surveillance camera. In fact, I did a Free For All Friday on points of view and storytelling a while back, so check out the podcast to be able to see those episodes. So third person might be, you know, read the story. Fred was always a nervous man, never knew what to do when trouble struck. And so the narrator's filling everything in for you. Second person is when the author tries to put you in the story. And so they'll put something in there. Well, let me give you an example of second person. This is from a book called Bright Lights, Big City. I also shared this on the previous podcast. And this is how the book starts. You are not the kind of guy who would be at a place like this at this time in the morning. But here you are, and you cannot say that the terrain is entirely unfamiliar, although the details are fuzzy. You are at a nightclub, talking to a girl with a shaved head. The club is either Heartbreak or the Lizard Lounge. All might come clear if you could just slip into the bathroom and do a little more Bolivian marching powder. Then again, it might not. So, this would be a story. I think it's set in the 1980s. I think it's in New York City. Michael J. Fox was in the movie adaptation of Bright Lights, Big City. But the novel itself is second person. It's written as if you were in the story saying, you do this, you think that, you're going to go here. And so very few stories ever attempt to do second person because it's just weird, but they're perfect for choose your own adventure. So you would read through Choose Your Own Adventure, and it would say, you know, you have set off on an undersea expedition, but suddenly a shark rears its head. What do you do? And to keep it to be interesting in the second person, the end of the page would instruct you to say, go to page 6 if you fire the harpoon. Go to page 20 if you hide behind a rock. And so you decide, and then you flip to those pages, and then the story proceeds. And so the story, the book, is not meant to be read from beginning to end. In fact, the beginning of the book, it says, do not read this book from beginning to end. Instead, you're supposed to follow the instructions, and at the end of each section, go to page this or page that to continue the story. And actually, as the books progressed, they did little things that were interesting. Sometimes they hid secret endings in the book that you could only get to if you randomly flip pages. I remember reading Choose Your Own Adventures, and you would all I'd cheat a lot, you know, sometimes. Now, some of the books I started at the beginning, wanted to see what would happen. But other times, I'd pick up a new book, I would flip through, find an ending that I wanted, and then see how to work my way backwards to get to that. So Choose Your Own Adventure Secret Path Books is a series of children's game books where each story is written from a second-person point of view, with the reader assuming the role of protagonist. The series was based upon a concept created by Edward Packard and originally published by Vermont Crossroads Press' Adventures of You series, starting with Packard's book Sugarcane Island in 1976. You can see here, Sugarcane Island, you know, you're marooned on this island with pirates and sharks and other things trying to get you. And so it started, Choose Your Own Adventure originally started with Adventures of You. It became Choose Your Own Adventure when it was published by Bantam Books. And the phrase Choose Your Own Adventure appears in the third book in the series of these original Adventures of You, which was called The Third Planet from Altair. And it's entitled Choose Your Own Adventure, The Third Planet from Altair. You know, you're the star of the story. Choose from 38 possible endings, another Packard book in the early series. So very common motifs is that they're adventure stories. You know, you're a kid. Usually you're a kid. Sometimes you're an adult, but usually you're a kid, which makes sense because the books are written for junior high students. So you want to see yourself in the story if it's talking about you. Sometimes the character is gender neutral, but usually it's a young boy because young boys are the ones who tend to read Choose Your Own Adventure. It's in exotic locations like the ocean, under the ocean, islands, mountains, remote destinations, the jungle, the savannah, or going into space. So for science fiction, provided a rich supply of characters and also gory and disturbing deaths. That's the other thing which will pop up as we talk about Choose Your Own Adventure. That's the thing I remember most reading through Choose Your Own Adventure as a kid. I don't even remember the adventures so much as I remember being invested in the story and then finding out that I had died in some grisly way because apparently I made a stupid decision, which at the time didn't seem stupid at all. That's what's hard when you read Choose Your Own Adventure. It's like, do you take the wizard's key or do you drink the vial? It's like, well, I'm not going to drink the vial. Drinking things is bad. I'll take the wizard's key. A monster comes in and eats you. And then it's like, oh, great. If I had drunk the vial, I would have gotten powers and could beat the monster. It's stuff like that. You'll go through the book and you don't really have an intuition that one of the decisions is the right one based on what you're reading. It feels very random in that regard. So Choose Your Own Adventure, published by Bantam Books, grew throughout the 80s and 90s. According to Packard, the core idea for the series emerged from bedtime stories that he told to his daughters, revolving around a character named Pete and his adventures. Packard said, I had a character named Pete, and I usually had him encountering all these different adventures on an isolated island. But that night, I was running out of things for Pete to do, so I just asked what they would do. His two daughters came up with different paths for the story to take, and Packard thought up an ending for each of the paths. What really struck me was the natural enthusiasm they had for the idea, and I thought, could I write this down? And Packard developed the basic premise in the manuscript called The Adventures of You on Sugarcane Island. And there have been other spinoffs since Choose Your Own Adventure. One that I read a lot, actually, that wasn't as disturbing as Choose Your Own Adventure, which we'll see as we get here later in the episode. Some of the endings I feel like are not appropriate for children. Ones that still had kind of creepy endings, were more geared towards kids, would be R.L. Stine's Give Yourself Goosebumps. So when I was in middle school, I also loved reading Goosebumps books. And the film that came out with Jack Black not too long ago, don't watch the sequel. The sequel is just terrible. But the Goosebumps film with R.L. Stein, based on R.L. Stein, it's, you know, the idea, what if R.L. Stein's books came to life? Jack Black is in the Goosebumps movie. He plays R.L. Stein. It's a pretty good film. And so I loved the Goosebumps books as a kid. And a spinoff of them was Give Yourself Goosebumps. And so the same principle, you read through, you choose your ending. And I thought those were done really well. Also in the 80s and 90s, you had early text-based computer games. Oregon Trail would be an example of this. Like, you know, you choose how the game goes forward in the story. One that I always remember is the game from the beginning of the movie Big. Do you remember the movie Big with Tom Hanks, where he's 12-year-old Josh Baskin, and he doesn't have money, he doesn't have friends, he just wishes he's an adult, and he goes to Zoltar. He's like, I wish I was big. Then he wakes up the next day as Tom Hanks, and he goes and gets a job at a toy company and becomes like a chief executive there. And I mean, it's a classic movie, and also not an appropriate movie for children, by the way. Like, yeah, you remember the cute scene where he and the CEO are dancing on the piano at F.E.O. Schwartz. But then there's other scenes. I'm like, this is not appropriate for children to be watching. But at the beginning, there is the scene where he's playing a text-based computer game. You're in the cavern of the evil wizard, and his parents are like, Josh, take out the trash. And he has to decide how to stop the wizard. And he hesitates, and then the wizard freezes him. And it says, like, maybe in a million years, you'll thaw out. And that kind of sarcastic way to describe your own doom is something you find in Choose Your Own Adventure over and over again. So what I want to do now, then, is go through some of the classic Choose Your Own Adventures and talk about some of the disturbing endings that I came across as a kid. And other people online have noticed that these are the ones that disturb them the most as well. So here's one. Choose Your Own Adventure number 45, You Are a Shark by Edward Packard. First, I love the story. I'm doing a story. This one's about how you become animals. What are you going to call it? You're a shark. Okay. And so the idea here is you're a kid who's like hiking in the Himalayas for some reason, and you find a monastery, and then then you get transformed into different animals. And so you go through these adventures as different kinds of animals, and usually it just doesn't turn out well. For example, if you end up as the pig, this can be your ending as the pig. Dimly, you remember, pigs aren't tended for their fleece like sheep, nor for their milk like cows, nor for their eggs like hens. They have only one purpose, one destiny. You roll sorrowfully in the mud, knowing that you are nothing more than pounds and pounds of ham and sausage and bacon. Your human memory stirs. You do have a chance, but you'd better go on a diet. The end. And so that's, you know, you get turned into a pig, and then you end up getting eaten by people. There is, you know, obviously there's going to be a storyline where you become a shark because the book is called You Are a Shark. But what's disturbing about it is there is a storyline where you become an octopus and then you try to fight off a shark and the shark eats you. And then another ending where you are a shark and you end up eating an octopus. So it's like, wait a minute, in this series, if you become an animal, do you also eat like alternate versions of yourself in a parallel universe that made a different choice? It's pretty deep stuff for a choose-your-own-adventure book. Here's the next one, Space and Beyond. This one's by R.A. Montgomery in the Choose Your Own Adventure series, and it takes you into outer space. So it's easy for the authors, if you want to send them to another planet or a spaceship, all kinds of wacky and crazy stuff can happen. Here's one of the endings. So you go to all these different planets and stuff, and weird things happen to you for your ending. This is one that's freaked a lot of people out. You end up on this other planet, and it says, the light island appears as a haven for you, and your space pod comes to rest gently in the warm radiance. You leave the space pod and are greeted by a group of six creatures that change age and features, transforming from babies to old people. It is more than you can understand. It is frightening. It is watching the past become the present and the present turn into the future. It is a kaleidoscope of life, endlessly repeating the cycle of birth and death. You realize that it is beginning to happen to you as well. You look down at your hands and they are small and pink, baby's hands. Before your very eyes, they grow and change color and texture. A rush of time and experience engulfs you. It is not pleasant, but you have no control over it. Then you are horrified to see the wrinkled skin and dark liver spots of old age appear on your hands. So, long story short, you end up on an alien planet with a bunch of old people trapped in baby bodies. You're old person babies, basically. So just imagine people that look like infants, but they have the features of senior citizens all walking around. And there's a little illustration of it as well, if you didn't get the creepiness of it all. So that would be Space and Beyond. Here's a few other ones. I want to go through some of the typical endings that I found disturbing. Although one that I couldn't find, one that I wasn't able to find that stuck out to me the most, I remember reading one about going into space, being abducted by aliens, and you ended up in a human zoo. And so you end up just in this kind of terrarium, and alien tourists go by and look at you and take pictures and make fun of you. And you're just stuck in essentially like an apartment or a kid's bedroom, and that's where you live the rest of your life. When I was 12 years old, I really thought, what would it be like if I was just stuck in a zoo the rest of my life, a human zoo? And later, I grew up and realized that in the United States, we had human zoos for pygmies and indigenous people from Africa. There was someone named Oda Benga who was kept in a human zoo. We had this not that long ago. I think it was a little more than 100 years ago here in the United States. We had this. This was after slavery had been abolished, but we still had things like human zoos. So that was my trajectory of learning about the world. Let's go through a few typical disturbing endings for Choose Your Own Adventure. One kind of disturbing ending would be you're eaten by an animal. You go on adventures in the jungle or the mountains, you end up getting eaten by something. So here's a few. The bear's claws rip deep into your flesh. The pain is brief but terrible. If only you had been a better shot. Your adventure ends here. Dun, dun, dun. So, eaten by a bear. Here's another one. You decide you've got to get help from the boat. There's no telling what you'll find at the village, and something is obviously very wrong here. You don't make it very far, though. Along the way, you run into a large, hungry anaconda. The Indians of the jungle say the anaconda is the spirit of the Amazon, and that anyone swallowed by the snake lives unharmed inside forever. If that's true, send a postcard. The end. I also like it sometimes when they tie into it, they'll say, and for you, this is the end. And then it's just grim. And this is the original like Final Destination series for kids, like really confronting your own mortality of all the different ways that you can die in these stories. Here's another one that'll give you some nightmares about animals coming after you. At first, the climbing is easy. The wall is full of large cracks and ledges. But higher up, the going gets rougher and riskier. The ledges break when you step on them. The stones crumble in your hand. Still, you struggle upward, higher and higher. You are near the end of your climb. Your right hand reaches over the top of the wall, and something bites it. Flames seem to be raging up your arm. It's good descriptions. There's another bite, and another. Each one makes the pain worse, and you're not sure you can hold on. With great effort, you lift your head up over the wall and see monstrous, hairy, black spiders, thousands of them. They leap toward you. You let go of the wall. For you, it's the end. Oh, my God. And what would you do? Imagine that. It's like, imagine it wasn't the end. It's just you're now there hanging from the ledge. All the spiders are biting you. Do you jump off ledge or remain and get eaten by spiders? Like I said, this is grim stuff for kids. I just wanted to be on my break, eat my pudding snack, and then do a little light reading before I went back to Algebra 1 or something like that. All right, so those are some of the more disturbing ones. We got a few more, actually. But some of them are also, they're just weird. Here's one. This is from Choose Your Own Adventure number 10, The Lost Jewels of Nabooty. And here's, I guess this is, you know, you'll end up in marketplace bazaars going on a Lawrence of Arabia adventure or something like that. Here's one of the endings. As you sit in the warm sunshine deciding about going to Morocco, you catch sight of a small girl, actually a midget, leading a dog. The midget walks up to you, hands you the leash, and before you realize that the dog is a mechanical dog, not a real one, it explodes into 1,000 brilliant shards of metal. The explosion finishes you off. Ugh, what a horrible way to go. The end. What? What happens to you? Like, oh, should I go to Morocco for my journey? And then a woman, a little person, because you're not supposed to use the word midget anymore, but it was the 80s, you know, walks up to you with a dog, and it turns out to be a mechanical dog. So it's like, it's not a dog, and it's not a mechanical dog, it's a bomb, and it blows you up. The end. I really wish I could have been at the author brainstorming session when he comes up with this stuff. Also, though, to be really, the stuff that would get really disturbing, though, is when you go to outer space. The outer space ones really stood in there for me because there's all kinds of weird machines that could, you know, kill you over a really long time period, or you're lost floating in space. Whenever you have to deal with aliens, you never know what they're going to throw at you. So here's one. This is from Choose Your Own Adventure number 15, House of Danger, published in 1982. "No thanks, you say. We're not interested." "You refuse, do you?" shouts the man. Uh-oh, don't refuse the offers. They make people mad. "Oh, we may have another use for humans. In fact, it is our main use for humans." With that, he takes out a small device from his pocket and aims it at the three of you. A beam of incredibly cold light, its temperature hundreds of degrees below zero, bathes you, Lisa, and Ricardo, and freezes all of you into solid blocks of ice. Then the man takes out a rubber stamp from his other pocket and stamps your forehead. "Human meat. Galactic Prime. Source, planet Earth. Grade A. The end." Now, is anyone going to really want meat that's been frozen to absolute zero? That's going to ruin the taste, frankly. But, you know, so yeah, so the aliens end up eating you. But here's one, though. That this is the one that I think is the most disturbing, not because it's aliens eating you or crocodiles, but it's just like you're just the victim of a violent crime. So this is from Choose Your Own Adventure number 44, The Mystery of Ura Senke, published in 1985. And this is how it ends. "He sounds as if he's telling the truth, Kenichi, you say. What do you think?" "You're right. Let's untie him," Kenichi answers. But seconds later, you realize you've forgotten one of the main rules of detective work. Never trust anyone. As soon as Mr. Hata is untied, he uses the same sheets to strangle you and Kenichi. The end. And it has an illustration of a member of the Japanese Yakuza, you know, the mafia, wearing like a jacket and tie, strangling you with bed sheets, like strangling like a 13-year-old boy wearing a sweater and a collared shirt. He's like, "Oh, why did I trust the Yakuza?" That to me is the disturbing one. You know, I get like crazy adventures, you know, and you end up being blasted by the alien death ray or whatever. But people do get strangled by bad people in this life, by criminals. And this happens to kids sometimes. And you just have this, you just get murdered. You tried to investigate the Japanese mafia, didn't go well for you, and they murdered you. The end. You didn't solve the mystery of Ura Senke. So that is the one to me that I always think is pretty disturbing. But, some of them, though, did have, it was very poetic, actually, as you died. I liked this one. This is from another variant of Choose Your Own Adventure, a competitor, the Cretan Chronicles. You gasp with shock as you fall into the sea. The impact knocks the air from your lungs and you breathe in water. As you choke, you feel yourself being dragged down into Poseidon's Twilight Kingdom, where the shades of drowned sailors mingle in court and the only music is the skeletal laughter of mermaids and the piping of lungfish. The sea god never forgives. So that's a poetic way to describe you meeting a watery grave. Also, a lot of people online have created branching paths, so you can just go online and look up each book, and there's a map to show you which decisions lead to what endings. And then people have actually done comparisons to see, well, how often do you get a good ending or a bad ending? And the bad, I guess, I don't know what it is, but the writers of Choose Your Own Adventures did not want you to have a happy adventure. Most of the outcomes are bad or bad and you die. This is what I have here is a breakdown of Choose Your Own Adventure number 2, Journey Under the Sea. And I actually started reading that one and I was mad because some of them, you would read them and then you would get to a point where no decision was good. I remember there was one, you're reading Journey Under the Sea and the very first ones, they're not, you know, it's just you scuba diving under the ocean in a old-timey diving suit. What do you do? Oh, a sea monster got the boat. And there's sharks coming at you. So you can choose to activate your propulsion pack to get up to the surface to get away, or you can hide behind a rock, hoping the sharks will go away. If you activate your propulsion pack, it sends you rocketing to the surface, but you get the bends. So you get nitrogen bubbles in your blood, and it just says, you're not going to find Atlantis today. So it doesn't say you die, it just says you get the bends. So that might be preferable, I guess, but that's a bad ending in my opinion. You won't be finding Atlantis today. You're going to the hospital. If you wait by the rocks, because you might think, oh, rocking the surface, you'll get the bends. That's not good. If you hide behind the rocks, more sharks come and then they eat you. So that's where you read through the story where it's either bad ending or worse ending. So what it broke down here is that in Journey Under the Sea, there are 42 total endings. About 10 of them are neutral. I think 8 of them are good endings. So 18 either, I don't know, it doesn't have the exact number here, but we'll just call it 18. 17 or 18 are neutral or good. Neutral, it's like, you made it home, good work. Or it's just, you live on the island now, good luck making your coconut souvenirs. So those would be the neutral or the good ones. But I think something like 24 or 25 of them, the majority of them are unfavorable or unfavorable death. But here's the thing, that if you add that together, it seems like neutral and good comprise about, let's say about 45% of the endings, if you look at it here. And then unfavorable, you die, are probably like 55%. So those are the number of endings, but the odds of you getting one of those endings, that's where it gets weird. When you look at the branching outcome, according to this chart in Journey Under the Sea, you only have like a 3% chance of getting a good ending, maybe like a 10% chance of a neutral ending, but half the time you'll probably die, and the other quarter of the time you'll just have a bad ending. And that is exactly what I remember from reading these books, that you always ended up, you either died, or you got stuck in time, or you're trapped somewhere, or you were resigning yourself to, now you have to live in the Middle Ages and everyone worships you as a, you live, or not even the Middle Ages, ancient times, and people worship you as a god, even though you actually aren't and you can't find your way home. So that's what I remember from Choose Your Own Adventure, is that if you try to have an adventure, you'll probably end up being miserable. Oh, and by the way, there is a kind of a Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix right now, on the Netflix series Black Mirror. It's called Black Mirror Bandicoot. So I think if you go on it, you can use your remote and you can watch, it's like a movie on Netflix, but you choose where the movie goes. So Choose Your Own Adventure still lives on Netflix in that regard. So hey, I hope this was helpful for you all. It was nice to go on a stroll down memory lane. Maybe I should find a way to do a Choose Your Own podcast episode. Maybe I could do it on YouTube somehow. If you click through the links, you can decide what happens on my future podcast episodes. But if you also want to decide what topics I'll cover on podcast episodes or submit questions, go to trendhornpodcast.com, become a subscriber, and you can do just that. You can submit ideas for episodes, comment on episodes. That's always a lot of fun. And if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click subscribe. That's always helpful to get access to the new content when it comes out. Thank you, guys, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trendhornpodcast.com.